Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Rejoice, heavenly powers. Sing choirs of angels.
Praise God, sovereign and Savior.
Praise the lofty ariser.
Who exclaims to our fears, be loved.
Who announces to our brokenness, be healed.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
So let this place resound with joy.
Sisters and brothers, there is good news today. Jesus is alive. We are alive. Death will not be our end. There is good news today, and it's your job to spread it. Start now. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
One more time, like you mean it. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Say it to someone near you now. Here's why we want to welcome you today. God told us to. That's my kid, God said. And if she comes to your church, it's because I wanted her to, so you be sure to welcome her. That's my kid, God said. And if he comes to your church, it's because he needs to be there, so you better be sure there's a place for him. And so we welcome you. Here's why we want to welcome you today. We need you. This is the 340th time this church has gathered to celebrate the resurrection of God, and there are still hungry and thirsty people on our streets. This is the 340th time we have gathered to sing alleluias to the risen Christ, and there are still people in the world who do not know that the world can be filled with beauty. This is the 340th time we've gathered for Easter, and there are still people out there waiting to be resurrected. We've been doing this for 340 years, and our work is just beginning. And we need you to continue it, and so we welcome you. Here's why we want to welcome you today. The world needs Easter. The world needs to know that the way we are now is not all that we can hope for. There's an alcoholic out there that needs you to tell her that addiction is not her final destiny. There's a government out there that needs you to tell it that the hope of the world does not lie in war. There's an environment out there that needs you to resurrect it. Friends, the world needs Easter people. Loud, brave, joyous, ridiculous, misbehaving Easter people. And that's you. So, to each and all, to those who walked here and those who rolled here, to those who came with people they love and to those who came alone, to the visitors and the regulars, to the partnered and the single, to the first-timers and the old-timers, to the believers and the disbelievers, to the deacons and the dilettantes, to the trustees of the church and to the tourists, to the gay and the straight, and to those who do not yet know what they are. Welcome to Old South Church in Boston. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Welcome, not for nothing, but because you are God's child, because we need you, and because the world needs Easter, and you are just the one for the job. I have a few announcements before we go forward. First, we hope you'll join us in the Gordon Chapel straight through those doors in the back right after worship for a time of conversation and refreshments and the ancient tradition of hot cross buns. Next, we hope that, lest you think that we are a church that only celebrates God's goodness on Easter, you'll take a few moments to look through the blue insert in your bulletin, where you will find some of the ways we praise God's name through learning and fellowship and service, or once you get home, you can check us out at oldsouth.org. Next, at the aisle end of each pew, you will find one of these. We call them our friendship pads. We sign and we pass these pads so that we can know and greet one another better. If you write your name in it, those with whom you share your pew will know how to address you. To you visitors, if you write your phone number in it, we will call to say how glad we are that you were with us today. If you write your email address in it, we will email you. If you write your snail mail address in it, we will send you a love note to thank you for being with us. Write as much information about yourself as you'd like as you pass the pads one way, and then take a look at the names of the people in your pew as they come back the other way. As I look out, I see a lot of people not passing the pads. I have a way to force you to do it. And it's this. Tucked in those pads is something that you will need later in this service. We're going to sing one of the best pieces of music ever, the Alleluia Chorus from Messiah. You will need that music. So pick up the pad now, if you haven't yet, and start passing it so the people down the row from you can sing. Something else you need to know for worship today, and something else you're going to need to pass down the row. Some of you remember that way back at the beginning of Lent, 5 Sundays ago, we took the word Alleluia and we buried it for those 5 weeks. We wanted to stand in solidarity with people whose lives would not let them sing Alleluia, would not let them say Alleluia, so we decided not to say it for those 5 weeks. It's the best word the church has. It's our most joyful word. It's the best thing that we can ever think of to say. And we decided to go on an Alleluia diet so that today we could dig in and enjoy it with gusto. So we took the word Alleluia and we buried it in that box down in our basement. And you can see that now the word Alleluia has kicked open the lid of its coffin, has exploded out of the box, has come out of its burial, and is loose in the world again. We're going to say it and sing it so much today. But it's not enough for us just to say it or just to sing it with our voices. We need to do it with our bodies as well. So at the end of each pew as well, you will find a little pile of Alleluia banners of your own. Pass those down. Be sure everyone in your row has one. You're going to need it. Here's what we'll do. Whenever anyone says or sings the A word or the H word, anytime during this service, that's Alleluia or Hallelujah, you're going to wave this banner high. Because the good news of Easter is that the life that went down into the grave has exploded out and is everywhere. It's not just one banner anymore. It's a banner in the hands of everyone here. So let's try it right now. Do this well. Say it as loud as you can. Kids, this may be the only chance you will have all year long to scream in church. So make it count as loud as you can on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Alleluia. Well done. There's one more way that you can use your body to say this word as we move forward today. Back when we buried the Alleluias, we learned how to say that word with American Sign Language. Just for a refresher, take a peek over here at Gabrielle, who's going to show us how to do it. Fingers bent like this. So if you get tired of waving your banners, you can say it like this whenever anyone says or sings Alleluia. You blew it. Whenever anyone says or sings Alleluia. Nice. One last thing. Kids, your parents will probably get tired of waving their banners before the service is over. Do not let them slack. It's your job, you guys up there, I'm looking at you, to be sure that your parents and your grandparents keep waving all the way through the service. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
The Easter reading comes from the Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." I think she's sad, too, about this whole story. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Easter Gospel.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. O God, on this Easter Sunday, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. So, you know how caterpillars become butterflies. The progress and metamorphoses from egg to caterpillar to chrysalis to butterfly, a process that is both beautiful and staggering. I want to be completely honest with you from the outset. That's not what we're talking about here today on Easter Sunday. It's nothing like that. It's not even close. And you know how a tiny seed pushed underground begins to grow? With a little water, a little sun, it emerges from the earth and then explodes in fragrance and blossom. Good stuff, eh? You go, God. But I want to be clear with you, that's not what we're talking about today. It's nothing like that, not even close. And I know you know about New England's seasons, our hot and humid summers, our glorious autumns, our long and frigid winters, our brief but delicious springs, any of which can be walloped by a northeaster. Flooding, damaging, road ruining, basement filling rains. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Hip deep snows, wild winds, flashing lightning, rolling thunder. Arizonians, they have no idea how exciting life can be. We New Englanders, we bend with the seasons and their cycles. How can we not? We bend with them trusting in the rotation and succession of one season after another, seasons of birth, life, death, birth. And I want to be really, really, really clear with you this morning. That's not what we're talking about here on Easter Sunday. I want to be completely clear. The Easter story, it falls outside of the rhythms and the cycles of nature. Easter morning is the story of the God who is not limited by the laws of nature. Easter is the story of the God who wrote the laws of nature, who conceived the laws of nature. Easter is the story of the God who invented gravitation, the God who concocted thermodynamics, the God who energized photons. Easter is the story of the God who conjured the chrysalis and mapped out metamorphoses. Easter is the story of the God who staged the steps from germination to root to shoot to leaf to flower. And Easter is the story of the God who ordained that when you die, you die. The life goes out of you quit, it's done, kaput, ended. And Easter is the story of the day 2,000 years ago, when God said to God's self, laws are made to be broken, even nature's laws. Easter is the day, the very day, that God went ahead and broke the laws of nature. Resurrection is an outlaw. Resurrection is unnatural. Turn to the person next to you and tell them this truth. Say to the person next to you, resurrection is unnatural. Caterpillars into butterflies, seeds into flowers, these are natural. The cycles and the seasons, migration, for instance, the annual migration from Fenway to Florida and Florida to Fenway, these are natural. These conform to the physical laws of God's great design, laws of nature, stages, seasons, cycles, metamorphoses, migrations. Resurrection is different. Resurrection is unnatural. And I will not patronize you today by suggesting that the event by which time is divided, the event that has been the wind in the sails of the church for these two millennia, is anything at all like the transition from chrysalis to butterfly, because it is not. And I will not patronize you today by suggesting that the event that gave to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. his uncommon courage, his unnatural courage, and today, by the way, is the anniversary of his assassination. May he rest in peace. Well done, Martin, thou good and faithful servant. But I will not patronize you by suggesting that the event that gave to Reverend King his uncommon courage, the event that gave to Mother Teresa her exceptional strength, the event that gave to St. Francis his gigantic gentleness, and to Desmond Tutu his incomprehensible kindness. The event that inspired Handel's magnificent Messiah, I will not patronize you by suggesting that that event is anything at all like the transition from seed to flower or chrysalis to butterfly, because it is not. Now, don't get me wrong. I love butterflies as much as the next person. Butterflies are beautiful. Maybe some of you are familiar with one of the prizes of the Amazonian rainforest, the blue morpho. Electric, metallic, shimmering, iridescent, cobalt blue, and about this big. Large, dazzling butterfly. You go, God. But resurrection isn't like that. It's not even close. Ask Mary. Staring the resurrected Jesus right in the face, she didn't see that it was he, because it was incomprehensible to her that he who had died could be alive again. Resurrection is a law-breaking, sense-shattering, logic-confounding, mind-messing, death-defying outlaw. Ask the disciples who ran and scurried and doubted. They unraveled. They came apart at the seams after Jesus died. They blew it. The friends of Jesus, they blew it. All four Gospels agree on this, that the disciples, they were a mess after Jesus died. The Gospels tell of confusion, bewilderment, disbelief, because it was incomprehensible to them that he who had died could be alive again. They came around. They came too, which is why we're here. They came to accept that resurrection is a law-breaking, sense-shattering, logic-confounding, mind-messing, death-defying outlaw. And once you accept that, well then, resurrection can do for you what no butterfly could. It can give you the courage of a king. It can give you the strength of a Teresa and the gentleness of a Francis and the kindness of a Tutu and the wild, wild hope of the early church. And if you are anything like me, you want some of that. And if you're anything like me, you want some of that for the world. So, welcome. Welcome to this ship of fools whose sails are filled with pirate wings, unnatural winds, God's law-breaking, tomb-bursting, death-defying, courage-inspiring winds, the winds of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia, he is risen.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, will you join me in the call to prayer that is printed in your bulletin? To the one who shall reign forever and ever, that all worldly kingdoms render service to the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray together. Loving God, your timing is perfect. We were about to build an ark. We were about to start collecting animals two by two. We were about to go down into our watery basements and sail away from it all. But then your sun came out, and warmth flooded every corner of this city. Your timing is perfect. We were prepared to celebrate Easter in the cold. We were prepared to put winter coats over top of our Easter dresses and overcoats over top of our suits, but then you turned up the heat and your daffodils opened up so beautifully and the magnolia trees sang. Your timing is perfect. It's just right. We were about to give up hope. The depression was so deep and so thick. The infertility was too much to handle. The past was too painful to let go of. The diagnosis almost crushed us. The job losses and the earthquakes and the aftershocks and the wars and the rumors of wars and the sexual abuse that was covered up and covered up and covered up. We were about to give up hope. Despair almost took over. But then we saw that the stone had been rolled away. Then we saw angels. Then we saw you, alive and walking around. Your timing is perfect. It really couldn't be any better. Beautiful green, breath like spring, stronger than death. Daffodil God, your timing is perfect, and today we believe it all. Today we believe in your risen Christ. We believe in the empty tomb. We believe that sin has been crushed down. We believe that death has no more power. Today we believe that peace is stronger than war, forgiveness stronger than violence, love bigger and better than hate. Today we believe that life really is stronger than death, that winter will always give way to this kind of spring. For all of this good news, we sing the Alleluia chorus at the top of our lungs, not just in here, but when we go home. For all of this, we also hold silence because it is so mysterious. God, we ask that you hear us now as we sing silently, Alleluia, as we pray silently. Hear us as we come before you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting that mean death to death. Thank you for restoring our hope. Thank you for changing everything. Thank you for breaking every law. Thank you for having such good timing. Thank you for your son. who is our Savior. Thank you for the words he gave us to pray in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, on Good Friday and on Easter morning. God, hear us as we pray those words. He taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, with all the angels and the archangels, with all the saints and the martyrs, let us lift up our voices and sing together, Alleluia.
For the God of the empty tomb, for the God who breathes out peace and forgiveness, for the God of resurrected life, the God whose love even death itself cannot stop. For such a God as this, for such an unnatural, such a bold God as this, how much is the right amount to offer? How much is the right amount to give? Friends, for just such a God as this, the morning offering will now be given and received. Friends, let us pray. Holy One, risen One, living One, we offer you now our gifts, our coins and bills, our lilies and praises, our trumpets and voices and organ. Take them, God. Take us, God. Use these gifts and these givers to turn weeping into dancing, to turn sorrow into gladness, to turn death into life abundant everywhere. We pray these things in the name of the One who lives and breathes and loves now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, will you please rise as you are able for our Easter blessing? O God, you who are eternal salvation and inestimable blessedness, grant to all your servants, we pray you, that we who have received things holy and blessed may be enabled to be holy and blessed evermore. Amen.
On this Easter Sunday, may you go forth from this place loving God so much that you love nothing else too much, and fearing God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And may our death-defying, law-breaking God be with you this day and every day. And the people said, Alleluia and Amen.